good to be here again tonight, and as James mentions, it's good to see such a goodly audience here tonight. I typically judge Sunday night faithfulness on the size of the audience in relationship to the building, and as he said, we're pretty much full tonight, and even though a lot of people he mentioned may be from visiting congregations, it's still good to have such a goodly audience. Sometimes we underestimate the benefit that we provide just through our attendance. It's good to see people that come under the same roof and who praise the same God and who sing with the Spirit and with the understanding and who pray and who study God's Word. It's all just an emphasis that we can put on our faith, because it feels good to know that we may not be the only people who believe what we believe and who feel like we feel. Reminded then when I said that of the words of one of the three Hebrew boys, one of my favorite Old Testament statements, when they were standing before the king, and the king was asking them whether or not they were going to bow down, because did they realize he had the power to place them into the fiery furnace. And the response that one of them gave was that, well, we really don't need to answer you, king, because of this, because God is greater, so we don't even have to give you an answer. Because we have a God that if he chooses, he can deliver us from the fiery furnace. But the key is what he said next. He said, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to answer you. And it's always good. I said that it's good. We get encouragement from all the people that are here. But I believe that there are Christians here who have a mindset that even if we were here by ourselves, we'd still be faithful. If there were no people in here. So people that are here, the crowd that we hear, it's just the proverbial icing on the cake. Now, this morning we talked about having a Christian mind, what the Christian mindset is. And we talked about three points that I thought that we might be able to use to help us and encourage us to have that mindset, to have that Christian worldview. But when we stopped that lesson, I said that having that Christian worldview is kind of akin to knowing what to do. And knowing what to do is just the beginning of the battle. If you have your Bibles, I need you to turn to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. And I'm waiting on visuals. Okay. James 1, verses 22, 23, and 24. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. I typically get varied reactions to that slide. And usually I get a chuckle within 3 seconds. You're a hard group. It took you 4. A few years ago, I read a blog that was written by a man by the name of James Clear. And as I said this morning, from time to time I read so much, and it's not uncommon for me to read something and again it resonate with me about something that God has already said, something that we find from the Bible. Mr. Clear in his blog had the objective of pointing out what he calls the benefit of identity-based behavior. And one of the points he said is that the root of behavioral change and building better habits is your identity. Each action you perform is driven by the fundamental belief that it is possible. So if you change your identity, that is the type of person that you believe that you are, then it's easier to change your actions. He goes on to say, the only way I know to shift the benefits that you have, the beliefs rather, that you have about yourself, is to build a stronger identity. And that's to cast a vote for that identity with many tiny actions. Every action is a vote for the type of person you want to become. Of course, it works the opposite, he says. Every time we choose to perform a bad habit, it's a vote for that type of identity. Now, basically what he's saying is that we can make it easier for us to become what we want to become if we think that's what we are. Now, that might sound like a reciprocal statement, but it's really not. Because one of the things that it's hard for us to do is to be something all the time that we're really not. We had a fantastic fellowship this afternoon. Lots of food, more food than I ever saw. And I probably need to apologize to some of the members that are here, because when we started eating, I was told that there were four lines that were there. Two tables, two lines on each side of the table. And I was ushered into this line. And I started walking down that line, but I saw something that I wanted on that line. And so from time to time, I was on this line reaching behind me to get a serving spoon to get something out of that line. Now, consequently, I ate more through that than I would have eaten if I was only in my line. And so I'm going to have to go to the gym when I get back. I'm going to have to do something about all of that, right? Because in my mind tells me that I'm not as big as the scale is going to tell me on Thursday when I get home, okay? Now, I have to believe that that scale, even though it tells me something, that that's really not right. And so I'm going to have to work hard and work hard and work hard to prove that scale wrong. But now if I accept what that scale says and adopt that identity of that's the way I am and that's who I am, it's going to be hard for me to change that identity. And that's basically what he's saying. Now, as I said, from time to time, there are things that often resonate with me about certain things. And there were three things that resonated with me about this passage. One is Proverbs 23:7, where the writer says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, I understand the context of that passage deals with you and I. If we were invited to eat somewhere, to go to someone's home, and the host would speak freely and say, "Just eat all you want, have a good time, it doesn't matter, everything is fine." But he's really concerned with how much we're going to eat and how much it's going to cost, that even though he's feigning that generosity and playing like he's generous and open, that's really not who he is. And so that's the context of that verse when he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." But with that, and I'll adopt the Joe Works phrase. My brother Joe Works would say something that, you know, I'll take this point and I'll argue it, but I won't argue it long, okay? With that, I won't argue very long the viability of the context that we normally apply to this, that even as individuals, we become who we think we are. And it's hard for us to change that image that we have within us. Another point of resonance there was in Jesus' words in Matthew 15:8, as our Lord quoted Isaiah 29:13, when he said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And he goes on in Matthew 23:2-3 to talk of the scribes and Pharisees. And he said, "They sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, if they tell you to do something, do it, but don't do what they do, because they say and they do not." So again, he's talking about the hypocrisy of life. He's talking about the fact that there are people who want to be something that they within themselves know that they're not. They don't have that image within themselves. And so the point is that if we are going to be what God wants us to be, we not only need to think like Christians, but we need to act like Christians. And every day of our life, that needs to be our channel. What I'd like to do is offer three things. Most sermons have 3 points, and this morning I violated that. I had 4. So tonight I will have 3, and I'm not going to make that up by 2 tomorrow night, okay? I have more than 3 tomorrow night. But I'd like to suggest 3 points that we might use as metrics to determine whether or not we truly have that Christian mindset, and that might help us with understanding the importance of an identity-based behavior. Number one, that first thing I would suggest is that we just focus on who we are. Everyone who has obeyed Jesus Christ and we call ourselves Christians, we truly are Christians. We need to focus on who we are. When children are growing up, and I was told many times, and told my son many times and daughter, there are certain things you don't do because you are James. Okay? I mean, they'd come to me and they'd ask me, why can't I do this? And why can't I go there? And why can't I do this? And before they became Christians and they understood the thing about Christianity, I have to admit, I said, we just don't do that. You know, they may do that, and their parents may allow them to do that, but that's not something that we do. That's not who we are. And after they became Christians and got old enough, we're able to say, Christians don't do that. That's not something we do as children of God. We have to understand that. We understand this phrase that people say sometimes, I was not myself. You know, and we often use that term when we've done something, and then in retrospect, we think, well, maybe I would have done that differently, or maybe not even done that at all. And so a way to purge ourselves and to justify ourselves, we basically plead temporary insanity. You know, I was not myself. And one of the ways that one of the times that resonates a lot with us is with the prodigal boy. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible says he came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He came to himself. I mean, that's a very expressive phrase. He sat down and he recognized that the plan that he had in mind, that he was insane when he made his request. He was insane when he took the portion of his inheritance that he shouldn't have had at the time. He was insane when he left home and spent it on riotous living. And that insanity caused him to find himself in a position where he was feeding the swine. He came to his mind and realized that was not the right thing for me to think about. And there are times when we as Christians have to come to ourselves. I mean, we're children of God. We have to live as children of God. We're the salt of the world. And if the Bible says if the salt have lost its saltiness, then we're worthless. And so we have to always remember who we are. When we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, where the Apostle Paul talked about his life and in general the change that we can go through and will go through when we become Christians. There, the Apostle Paul writes, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor violers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And note verse 11, he says, and such were some of you. But he said, now you're washed. You've been sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Paul is kind of saying what Peter said. He said, you used to be this, and you need to remember who you are now and who you used to be. There are many times that we gain an appreciation for who we are when we remember who we were. And I don't know that there aren't many people who can look at themselves in a mirror in the audience this morning and say, or this afternoon, and say that God has changed me in some way. My obedience to God and my striving to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight has changed me. As a Christian, I don't think like I used to think. I don't react the way I used to react. The filter that I have in my mind now, when something comes in, it causes me to make different decisions now than decisions that I used to make before. Why? Because I am a child of God. And we need to remember who we are and focus on that. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul said, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness. And note what he said. Let it not be named among you as fitting saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. That's what the New King James Version, how it renders that verse. But I also like how the NIV renders verse 3, where it says, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." He's basically saying you need to focus on who you are. And Christians don't do this. Christians aren't caught up in this. And so when we think about that Christian identity in the world and keeping that mindset, that identity-based behavior says, I need to understand how I ought to live, and there are certain things out there that I can't do, and I have to stay within myself. I can't get to a purpose or a position where I do things and then I respond by saying, well, I wasn't myself. And now my second point kind of builds on the first, because it's not only do we need to realize who we are, but we need to realize that our actions truly reveal our identity. I mean, we can say that we're one thing, but again, then this is a simple sermon. I'm a simple preacher. And none of these thoughts are profound, excuse me. But we can say that we are one thing, but we have to always realize that our actions truly reveal our identity. A point there of resonance in the Scripture is Matthew chapter 23 in verses 1 through 3. And we used that before, where Jesus said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. And they say one thing, they have one attitude, they try to portray themselves as one thing, but that's not truly who they are. And the Apostle John gives us another metric on that relative to love. In 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 8, John says, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And then he goes on to say that if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. Well, who knows he's a liar? God knows he's a liar. We can tell people we love them. Inwardly, we don't show that love. We don't act that love, so we really don't love them. So we're professing to be something that we're not, and a lot of the things that we profess sometimes, nobody knows the truth and the reality of it but us and God. But us and God. And so the question tonight is, what beliefs are we expressing through our actions? That's what it truly is. And we can't fool ourselves. Just can't really do that. And then the third point is that we have to realize... Let me get down there. That our actions in revealing our identity, and I'll get this thing later on, our actions in revealing our identity sometimes actually can be either a hesitant to us or a benefit to us in striving to be what God wants us to be. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. One of the brothers that came this morning that opened the service, I think the one who made the announcement, mentioned how the spring was there and everyone was happy for the spring except for those of us who suffered with allergies and the pollen, and we're probably not happy, and I'm going to raise my hand and say I'm one of them, okay? Even though I'm happy about the spring, the pollen and the allergy, and believe me, you guys are having an early spring here. My wife's excited to see everything budding and tulips blooming in there, because we're not getting that in New Jersey, right? But my sinuses are also telling me that things are budding and things are there, so please be patient with me. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 35, the Apostle Paul says, and I'd like to read this from the NIV, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To me, one of the benefits of an identity-based behavior and saying that I'm a child of God is the fact that I know that God takes care of His children. Takes care of His children. And if I'm truly a child of God and I'm acting like I'm a child of God, I'm acting like I know that God is with me. I'm acting like I know that God is going to take care of me. I know that my spiritual welfare is never in question. As long as I do His will, I don't have to worry about any compromise of my spiritual welfare and my spiritual relationship to the Lord. I never have to worry about that. And I also know that whatever happens on the physical side of life, God has that in His hands as well. And so if there's a Job moment that I have to have in my life, or if there's a Paul thorn in the flesh moment that I have to have in my life, or if I don't have any of that and I just sail through life and He just takes me when He gets ready without a murmur, that's all in the hands of God. And I'm not worried about any of that. And so when I live that way, I live without angst. I live without worry. I can live without concern. My behavior is one that I'm free to just go serve God because I'm not worried about all those entanglements in the world today. I mean, the Apostle Paul in verse 37 there says that in all of the things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I have to tell you, that's a phrase that I don't quite understand. I know what it is to win. I know what it is to be a conqueror. But as much as I've won in my life, I've never experienced what it is to more than win. How can you more than win? I mean, that's a binary thing. Either you win or you lose. But Paul says that we are more than conquerors. And that's a whole study in itself as to what that means, to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. But that's the way we can live as children of God. And so the point I make there is that if we act like victims, more than not, we will be victims. But if we act like victors through Christ, we'll be victorious. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Understand the context of Philippians 4. Paul was talking to the church there, and they had helped him. They had come to his need physically, and they had given him things. And Paul finally found time to go back and thank them for what they had done. And then Paul was cautious that they didn't get a mindset that says he's coming to thank us because he wants more and he wants us to give more. And no, that's not what I'm here. I'm not here so that you can give me more, because I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, to be content. Why, Paul? Because I'm a child of God. God's taking care of me. I've learned to be content with little. I've learned to be content with a lot. It doesn't matter. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He was a victor. He realized he was more than victorious. And Paul lived like that because he believed that. You know, another point of resonance with me with that is the 139th Psalm. In Psalm 139 in verses 7 through verse 12. Where the psalmist there talks about the omnipresence of the Lord in the lives of not only those who love Him, but in the lives of His creation. In verse 7, the writer writes, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wing of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to You." The writer said, there is no way I can go, nowhere I can go, Lord, and nothing that can happen to me that you don't see and that you're not there. When I think about that, I think about Brother Edwin Crozier, who did a sermon at the Exton Church where Jeff Smeltzer is the preacher a few years ago on prayer. And when he talked about the omnipresence of the Lord, he told a story about some kids in school, and they were going through the food line. And there were the apples that were here on the table, and there was a sign there that says, "Only take one, God is watching." And the people went down the line, and they got down to the desserts, and there were chocolate chip cookies, and one of the students had scribbled a sign that says, "Take all you want, God's watching the apples." Okay. And there are some people who think that. They have a mindset that way. But our God is everywhere. And if we believe that, then we'll live that way. And it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Through the years, I've been guilty of using that verse negatively. Oh, you better watch out. You better do good. God sees everything that you do wrong, and if you do something wrong, He'll get you. Nowhere you can go hide from the Lord. You know, I like the last verse. God even sees at night. Used to tell the young kids at camp, you know, in the daytime, young people are fine, but at night, oh boy. When it gets dark, they go out, and I tell them, nothing good ever happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it doesn't end well. But this verse, the context of that is not as much that as it is the other side of that coin, that if we're serving the Lord and our identity is based on being a child of God, we don't worry about anything in life because God is there. He's going to take care of us. He's going to be there for us. And so we need to realize that our actions reveal our identity, and if we're truly Christians and our identity is Christians and we're living as Christians, God takes care of Christians. Now, with that, we have to not subscribe to the all or nothing philosophy. Last point. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 7 through verse 14. Here Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Note verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Having an identity-based behavior such that we strive every day to be what God would have us to be is an incremental process. And for some, if we're not careful, we often think that if we fail to follow the exact plan that we've laid out for ourselves and we make mistakes, we're just blown. And some people say, I just can't do it. But the truth is, it doesn't work that way. If we make mistakes, and we will make mistakes as doing a child of God, we're not going to be perfect. What we need to do is keep striving to be what Christ would have us to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, I like the ISV's version of what Paul said. The New King James Version says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be disqualified." The ISV says, "No, I keep on beating my body and making it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified. Living for Christ and having a mindset that we need to have as Christians, not only having that mindset, but exacting that or executing that in our lives, is a day-to-day incremental process. And I don't get it right every day. I don't know if there's anybody in here that gets it right every day. Because if you do, then you're my sensei and I'm going to be with you. We're works in progress. And that's why God is patient with us. Remember, the Apostle John says, "My little children, don't sin." He said, "Yeah, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the world. If it were possible for us to live perfect lives, why would Jesus Christ have come to die?" And so we can't get discouraged. We can't just give up. We can't look at the world and all those people that are in the world and basically say, you know, the majority is doing this, and so I just need to go along with that. Sometimes it may just be us. And that's why this assembly here tonight is just so fantastic. So fantastic. I mean, just feel the faith. And the love. The singing was just inspirational. The prayers were fantastic. I mean, just the scripture reading was just very, very encouraging and inspirational. And that helps us understand that we can be Christians the way God would have us to be Christians. We can do that. I can do that. All I have to do is believe that. And if I truly believe that and work toward that, it can happen. My belief alone won't make it, but it's a belief and a working toward that end. So, we need to strive to focus on who we are. Now, there may be those in the audience tonight that need to make this a binary question first. Are we lost or are we saved? I mean, we've been talking from an aspect, for the most part, of those who have obeyed the gospel, and in our own minds, we have this identity that I'm a Christian, and so I'm living like a Christian. I'm striving to live like a Christian. And if I make mistakes in that daily journey, I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess, and I'm going to just get up, and I'm going to come to myself like this young man did in Luke 15, and I'm going to continue to strive to do what God would have me to do. But there may be some in the audience tonight who haven't even started that journey. We haven't started it. And if you haven't started that journey, it's something that you need to understand that that's just a binary decision. Either you're saved or you're lost, and there is no middle ground. I was talking to someone this afternoon, and I said one of the frustrating things that I go through in one of our outreach studies where we preach, where my wife and I worship, is a Chick-fil-A Thursday morning study, and there we're almost thinking that we're snake bit a little bit. We started off at the Perkins restaurant, and Perkins closed, and when we moved to Friendly's, and Friendly's closed, and now we're at Chick-fil-A, and I told somebody, I think Chick-fil-A is safe, okay? I think they were okay at Chick-fil-A. But we've got some people in our study that's been with us for 3 years, almost 4 years, and we go through the books of the Bible, we study, we go through things, we don't shy from the truth, we just don't. And when our study in the book of Acts was the quietest study I've ever had. And that's what I said, you can look in people's eyes and you say, they get it. But there's just something there that's keeping somebody from obeying the gospel. When we study the book of Acts, a lot of people realize it's a binary decision, either I'm a Christian or I'm not a Christian. Either I've obeyed the gospel or I haven't obeyed the gospel. There is no middle ground. And so tonight there may be some in here who may be trying to be on that fence, but you can't be. Remember in Matthew chapter 20, or 7, in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only them who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." We might think, I've got this identity-based behavior. I'm a Christian. I think I'm a Christian. I said, Lord, Lord. That's not enough to get us to heaven. We're going to have to do God's will. That identity-based, the behavior part of that is what's important. We've got to behave commensurate with our identity. And then we have to realize that our actions reveal our identity. We can fool people. We may even be able to fool ourselves, but we can never fool God. He knows, and He's the judge. And then lastly, don't subscribe to the all or nothing philosophy. No. Hopefully nobody thinks I'm all good. No, we all sin and we all need repentance. And hopefully nobody thinks I'm all bad. No, don't think you're all bad, because God can save. He can save. And so all you need to do, all we all need to do, is want to be saved. That's the lesson tonight. We have to think like Christians. We have to react as Christians in our mind. But that's not enough. We need to take what's there and execute that. We need to make it real. It needs to become our reality. And reality is something that we look at and we'll live to that. And later this week, we're going to talk about changing that reality. And so tonight, if there's anyone who needs to obey the gospel, I think all things are ready. All we need is someone tonight who is ready to put their faith in God, to repent of their sins, confess Jesus Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And if there's someone who needs to rededicate their life to Christ, if you've started off in this identity-based behavioral track, you know you're a Christian, you want to be a Christian, but you realize that your life has not been lived commensurate with what you know you should be and what you want to be, there's no better time than to change that. Come to yourself and get back on track. And as I tell my group at home, if everything's okay, because I know that for some, everything's okay. I mean, there's nothing that we know about that we need to get right with the Lord. We've obeyed the gospel. But we also realize that we still need to go out and let our light shine as Christians, so that those in the world can see who we are. I talked about where Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it be salted? Our Lord also says that we're the light of the world. And lights, He said, aren't put under bushel baskets. Doesn't do any good. You know, identity-based behavior helps us understand that I'm a Christian not only here, but I'm also a Christian out there. And I'd like to say that Christians are needed more out there than they are in here. Now, that's not to say that we don't need Christians in here, because I already said we help each other. But the benefit that we are to the Lord is exponentially greater when we let our light shine among those who don't believe like we believe, who don't have the same mindset that we have. We don't need to be like people that you see in New York City from time to time, who have a placard on one side and a placard on the other side, and they walk up and down the streets of the world is coming to an end, and obey the gospel or come to the Lord. You don't need to live your life that way. But identity-based behavior and having a Christian mindset says, I'm not going to shy away from any opportunity I have to tell somebody about Christ. I'm not going to miss any opportunity I have to let somebody know, as the apostle said, a reason of the hope that lieth in me with meekness and with fear. Why? Because that's what Christians do. I'm a Christian. That's the way we live. And that's what we do. If there's anyone that we can help tonight in any way to obey the gospel, to rededicate their life to Christ, or in any other way be a better Christian, a stronger Christian, a more dedicated Christian, make that known while together we stand and sing.